Welcome back, everyone, to Campfire Tales. Tonight's video, we are diving into the true unsolved murder mystery of Charles Morgan from 1977. The events that took place, testimonies from his wife and other people that were involved on the case, and what truly happened to him. Stay tuned, you're not going to want to miss this. If you're new to the channel, subscribe. Click on that bell and smash that thumbs up. Now, let's get spooky. Living in fear. The man was running alongside the street. It was hard to tell if he was exhausted or frightened, but probably both. The handcuffs on his hands and ankle made it difficult to move, but he was trying to keep up. There was only one thing he had hoped for, reaching his front door before he collapses. When he managed to get to his house, after entering, he was looking for something in the house but did not speak. Then he took a pen and a paper and started writing. He wrote that he had been tortured and was given a hallucinogenic drug which made him unable to speak, and he would faint soon or would commit suicide after ingesting the drug. He was held as a captive, but managed to escape, but was not accurate about who he referred to. He also wanted Ruth to move his car, because he did not want anybody to notice that he came home. When Ruth told him to go to the police, he said that it would be equal to a death sentence. He said that less they knew, the better it would be. He was terrified that his family could be hurt, so he decided to stay quiet. Charles Morgan seemed to be a happy father of a happy family. He was an escrow agent in Tucson and had a wife named Ruth and four daughters. One day, on the 22nd of March 1977, he went missing, and nobody knew where he was. A few days later, he returned. In the following days, he was slowly recovering and grew a beard. Ruth was nursing and taking care of him. As his voice started to return, he revealed what was going on. "Just to let you know, I'm working for the Treasury Department meanwhile. I am a secret agent, helping the state fighting organized crime." He admitted it to his wife. "The thing is, I know some dirty business concerning two crime groups, so I am kinda in trouble," he explained. He was still panicking and did not let her daughters go to school alone. Instead, it was he who drove them there and did not let anybody else pick them up. Then he became more paranoid and wore a bulletproof vest and carried a knife. There was a second time when he disappeared again, but this time, however, Ruth took the children to school and Charles went to work. But he never showed up, even though he called his workplace saying that he would be there soon. People who found his behavior suspicious soon heard of him from the press. His body was found in cells on a dirt road. There was a bullet hole on the back of his head, and the bullet came from his own gun. There were not any fingerprints on his gun, though. The sheriff found several weapons and handcuffs in his car, including ammunition and sunglasses which did not belong to him. Strangely, one of his teeth was packed in tissue paper. There was also a map in the car, indicating the route to the murder scene. Another interesting thing was the fact that his car could have been unlocked from its front body. Supposing he was part of some secret agent game, this technical modification could have been used for emergencies. However, there was another strange thing in the car. A $2 banknote with 7 Spanish names written on it. On the other side of the note, there was a biblical citation from Ecclesiastes 12:1-8, which is the following. Men are afraid of a high place, and the terrors on the road. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. What did this citation refer to? Was it a metaphorical message to those who chased him? Or the password for something? There was something else written on the note, too. The signers of the Declaration of Independence marked with numbers from 1 to 7. During the investigation, Ruth told the police that she had received a mysterious call between Chuck's disappearance and his death. The woman called herself as Green Eye and told Ruth that Chuck had been fine and well. She also referred to this biblical citation and told her that they met Chuck a few times in a motel. Chuck told the woman that somebody wanted to kill him and showed her a briefcase with a lot of money which was intended to buy off the hitman. He also said that there was $90,000 of blood money for killing him, which was increasing every day. Later, the police confirmed what the woman had said. CCTV records provided that he had taken a motel room and met a woman several times. When Ruth asked if she knew about Charles cheating on her, she denied it, saying that she would have known about that and that he was loyal to her. This woman also called the Pima County Sheriff's Department, and an officer answered the phone. She told the officer the same things that she had told to Ruth, including the money that was supposed to save Chuck's life. Rumors started to spread about Chuck, who was found dead, and we were all shocked. The news soon appeared in the press as well. Everybody was looking for answers because nobody knew for sure what had happened to Chuck Morgan. I remember having conversations about the case in the dressing room before our performances. It was the excitement about the case which energized us instead of the awareness that was about to perform in a few minutes in front of hundreds of people. We wanted answers and we were not alone. People in Tucson wanted somebody to come forward and say something. Finally, we did not have to wait too long. Chuck's attorney, Ronald J. Newman, claimed that Chuck had information about corrupt and illegal business going on at a local bank, called Tucson's Banco Internacional de Arizona. According to Ronald, there was an ongoing secret investigation against the bank, and Chuck was asked to help. From this point, really strange things started to happen. While Charles' car was in police possession, somebody broke into it. But it was not only his car that was ransacked, but his office too. A few weeks later, two men turned up at his house as FBI agents, and they were ransacking the house too. What were they looking for, and did they find it? Because they actually spent quite a long time searching in the house. Investigative reporter Don Deverex, who was on the case, contacted the FBI, and they claimed they had never heard of Chuck Morgan, and it was never found out if they were real FBI agents. Is it possible that Chuck was hiding evidence for the dirty business of the bank? In spite of these mysterious events, Chuck Morgan committed suicide according to the Sheriff's Department. They explained that they had not found evidence for murder, but the signs implied suicide. So the case was closed in August of 1977. However, Ruth Morgan had a different opinion. I do not accept the explanation, and I am not sure if it will ever be solved or we will ever know who killed him, she said. After decades, The reasons behind his death are still a mystery. The most popular theory is that he was the target of some criminals as he was a secret agent. One possible subject was Joseph Bonanno, who was a member of the Mafia and moved from New York to Arizona. Arizona was an ideal state for many criminals as people could buy land anonymously, making money laundering possible. Chuck, as an escrow agent, supposedly worked for at least one Mafia family. The theory is that he may have known too much, and the Mafia wanted him dead after giving the job to a hitman. It is possible that Chuck met up with this hitman to buy him off, but the hitman killed him anyways and made off with the money. The acting never left me much free time, but when I had some, I never missed reading the latest news about this case. I wanted to know if there were any developments. There were. Years later, after his murder, the further strange and mysterious events happened. Don Deverax was convinced that Charles had kept records on money laundering, and he was killed because of those records. In May 1990, a man, Doug Johnson, was found dead in his car. Doug worked across the street from Don Deverax and had a similar car. According to Don Deverax, he was actually the target, but he was mistaken for Doug Johnson. Then Don was later contacted by a writer named Danny Casolaro. Don promised to give him all the documents he could about this case. But strangely, Danny was found dead on the 10th of August, 1991, before he could have met Don. He was found in his bathtub and seemingly committed suicide, which was stated by the police. A short suicide was also found with the following message. To my loved ones, please forgive me. Most especially my son, to be understanding. God will let me in. There were sharp cuts on his wrists with a razor blade. Interestingly, his family was notified only 2 days after his death. His family was very skeptical about him, saying that Danny had always been afraid of needles, and even if he committed suicide, he would have chosen a different way. The autopsy also revealed several suspicious signs, giving hints that he may not have been alone at the time of his death. Nonetheless, Danny mentioned threatening phone calls days before his death, and that he was very close to cracking a business-related corruption case. All of the documents and notes he had were also missing. Chuck's wife died in 2006, passing away without answers. This is all that I have found during the years I was following it up. I continue acting in theaters and realize that there is no better director than life itself. Twists come when we expect them the least. So what happened to Charles Morgan? Nobody knows for sure. But the theory that he committed suicide in a bulletproof vest while he kept looking over his shoulder is not believable. Sometimes, ruling out what is not possible takes one step closer to the truth.